This morning, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, please. Isaiah 9, 6. Isaiah 9, 6. And I'm going to take you through a litany of scriptures as we begin this morning. And I want to entitle the message, Recapturing a Sense of Awe and Wonder. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read a verse of scripture that is very popular, if you would, during the Christmas season. And as I quote it, I'm sure as we both all read it in our Bibles, you'll understand what I mean by that. And it'll ring a bell with you because we usually read this verse of scripture during, you know, after Thanksgiving and before Christmas or the days leading up to it. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Notice the next line, and his name will be called what, church family? Shall be called Wonderful. Goes on to say, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now let's stop and think of that word wonderful. You know, we can read that, and because we have read it or heard of this verse so many times, we lose the significance of what that word truly is trying to communicate to us. I want you to think of that word not as, oh, he's a wonderful person, he's a wonderful God, but divide the word into two parts, wonder and full, F-U-L-L, not F-U-L. He is a God that is full of wonder. He is a God that is full of awe, inspires awe in us and wonder. Okay? So let's think of it. Let's read it that way. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called a God full of wonder. Do you like that? He's a God full of wonder. Let's go to Psalm chapter 16, please. Verse 11. Here, David is praising God. And notice his words. You, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Let's all say that. In your presence is fullness of joy. Notice the next phrase. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, what is in God's presence? Fullness of joy, isn't it? And at his right hand are, and I grieve that the word pleasures, it just seems like a one-dimensional word, but it really means this. At your right hand, you are full of delights. You are full of fascinations. You are full of wow moments. Has anybody ever had a wow moment with God? You know, I would venture to say that if you read your Bible frequently, your Bible reading probably is full of wow. Like, I've never seen that before. Who's ever had those moments? Like, you read a scripture that you've heard of all your life, and then you read it again, and it's just like, comes alive, and it's fresh, and you're like, wow. Kind of like what my fiance does with her diamond ring. You know, the light will hit it, and it'll glisten in a way she didn't see it, and go, wow, I have such a wonderful man, a man full of wonder, and humble to boot. All right, so let's go to one more verse of scripture, Job chapter 5, please. Job chapter 5. And let's read verses 8 and 9, please. Verses 8 and 9. Job 5, 8 and 9. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Notice, what kind of God is he? Verse 9, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He performs what? wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. So my question to you this morning is God a God of wonder that inspires awe in our hearts and in our lives? Can I see by, you know, this means yes, back in Texas. This means no. Right? Is he a God full of wonder? He performs wonders that we cannot fathom, we cannot understand, we cannot wrap our minds around. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, what an honor it is to be here in your house with this beautiful church family, Lord, and to have the honor and the privilege to be called their pastor. Lord, I am having a wow moment this morning because of that reality. And Lord, I give you thanks for your word, that it's alive, that it is active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces, Lord, to the innermost depths of our very being. And I pray that this message be this to your church family here, to this precious flock. I give you thanks for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look up at the screen. Does anybody know what TV show this is? This is America's Got Talent. Why did I throw this slide up here? Because I like seeing the reactions of the judges when an act has been done in front of them. And what are those X's for? Somebody tell me what those X's are for on this little table. They vote for them, right? What if they don't like the act? They ring the bell and what gives a red X, doesn't it? And then if it's a dud act, they won't tolerate it much, and they'll just start hitting because they'll look at each other like, is this going anywhere? Or sometimes somebody does something so awe-inspiring that they're just in tears. The judges are in tears, or they go, wow, don't they? Those are my favorite times, is when these judges, the Spice Girl, Howie Mandel, the wonderful Heidi Klum, full of wonder, and Mr. Simon Cowell, are in awe and awe-inspired. I love those moments. Now, what does that say about us as human beings? Are we not created by God to have wow moments? Yes. Do you realize that the enemy can give us temporary, and that's the operative word, temporary wow moments? What do I mean by a temporary wow moment? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that there is pleasure in sin for how long? Somebody tell me. There's pleasure in sin for a moment, a season. There's pleasure. So there is some wow. There are wow moments to be had in the kingdom of darkness, aren't there? In this age, in this culture. You know, Satan will offer us great wow moments at the onset, and we call that temptation. He'll say, look, if you do this, it's going to be awesome. If you smoke this, man, it's going to blow the doors off your rattle trap house. Well, anyway, so, you know, the enemy provides things. But listen, what the enemy doesn't tell you is with those wow moments that he provides, there are diminishing returns to those wow moments. What do I mean by that? That first high that a person got off of the drugs, you'll never recapture that first high the way you got it the first time. You have to do more drugs. Come on, somebody. Am I telling the truth? That illicit affair that a person had with a dude or a gal, oh, it must have been wonderful. It must have been Hollywood all over again. But that second one is not the same. See, those wow moments, you have to do more and more, but you get less and less the more you do them. That's what Satan has to offer. And yet the Lord, on the other hand, says, I'll wow you, and every wow moment you have will be as if it was your first. How many of us know that God is big enough to give us those wow moments as if you could be having a millionth wow moment with Jesus, but that one millionth wow moment will just be as fresh and as new as if that was the first one you had ever had in an encounter with God. Can I hear an amen on that? Would you agree with me that God, only God, is big enough? Only God is big enough to give us those wow moments time after time after time. And every wow moment is just, God just pins your ears back and you're like, wow. Now, I've heard some Christians in my time of being a believer since I was 15 years old, a few days shy of 16. I gave my life to Jesus Christ April the 1st, 1982, and I was watching a show called That's Incredible. That was back in early 80s show. You might remember it, maybe not, but I remember specifically on that program, they had a near-death experience, and someone who had met Jesus, I mean, they presented it the way it happened. They met Jesus, and they came back and their lives were changed after that near-death experience. They gave their lives to the Lord and they started serving the Lord. How many of you know that when you start following Jesus, he brings out the best in you? Amen. And when we start straying from Jesus, what comes out of us? The best of us? The worst of us. That's what I love about my Savior. He makes me the best Joe I can possibly be. You know, I'm not in competition with anybody else but my worst self. Right? So anyway, so I saw that. The Holy Spirit convicted me, went to my bedroom, got on my knees, knelt beside my bed, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I had this wow moment. At the time, I did not know Scripture at all, but I kid you not, it felt to me like there were many angels around me having a joyful moment. Later, when I read the Scripture in Luke 15, that Jesus said that when a sinner returns, that there is a party, you know, there's rejoicing among the angels of heaven in the presence of God. I thought, that's what I felt. It was hard to describe. See, God is big enough to give us wow moments. And listen, church family, to get to the point, when I hear believers saying, well, you know, the Christian life is boring. I know it'll all be worth it when I get to heaven. I'm thinking, you're not following the same Jesus I'm following, because I have my share of wow moments. Now, to be accurate as a Bible teacher, how many of us know that we as Christians also go through dry seasons where we wish we had wow moments, where we needed a wow moment for God to reassure us, and God just tells us, no, walk by faith. But Lord, I need to feel something. Lord, I need a buzz from the Holy Spirit. I need to feel glory. I need, anybody ever been there? I've been there. Lord, you said you would provide for me, but man, we have more month left over than check. I need a feeling, Lord, because my account says $5.42 and the electric bill's coming in, and that's going to be $200. I need for you to give me a feeling. And the Lord says, walk by faith. Right? You don't need to feel anything. Just walk by faith. Trust my word and you'll get there. Revelation chapter 21 verse 5. This very important verse of scripture. I want us to read it together. It's just that important. When I first heard this and found out about this verse, it was a wow moment for me. And I want to communicate that to you. Okay. Revelation 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, notice, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, at first value, yes, that's the scripture about heaven. Yes, God's going to give us a new heaven, new earth, right? There won't be any more suffering, no more tears, no more pain. Thank you, Lord. No more not able to take naps. I hope there are naps in heaven. I hope there are, right, Kelly? She likes her three-hour naps. I'm like, if I get 10 minutes out of a nap, I'm doing good. Anyway, so when we read that verse, we think it's about heaven. But when you look at the original language, the verb tense, this is the way it reads in the original language, in the Greek language. He makes all things new and continues to make all things new. Continually, every moment, listen carefully, Every moment in heaven is a new moment. Have you ever heard people say, Christians say, it's going to be boring in heaven? Who's ever heard that? I'm like, I have. And I'm like, you obviously don't read the Bible. Because God said every moment in heaven, every second, every nanosecond, not that there will be time in heaven, but every moment in heaven will be pregnant with newness. Every moment in heaven will be new. Because God is that big to give us newness of moments. Now, I'm going to reference the scripture in the interest of time. Listen, remember that one scripture in the book of Revelation with all these angels that have eyes all over the place, and they circled the throne of God round and round, and we know what they say? Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Now, these dudes have multiple sets of eyes on them. You and I only have one set of eyes. And if these angels are always in the throne before God 24/7, is there ever a boring moment? You know what? The holiness of God inspires every second for these angels. And they have eyes all over that they can't figure God out. Every moment it's like, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Does God inspire that much awe in us, church family? We only have one set. Can you imagine with our one set, we'll be like, these angels have eyes all over the place. They see parts of God that we can't see with our one set of eyes. And they do it 24/7. And are they ever bored? Never. Can we say that our God truly is an awesome God? Amen. Who's getting something out of this message? Listen, step number one to recapture a sense of awe and wonder. Number one, maintain a childlike attitude. We have to maintain a childlike attitude with expectancy. You should have seen your eyes when Brother Scott walked in. You're like, it's like a kid at Christmas, like, okay, let me see the stockings. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, you must become like one of these little ones to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because how many of you know kids are very impressionable? Some of us middle-agers were like, been there, done that, worn the t-shirt, blah, blah, blah. And kids are like, wow. I remember my grandson, Conry Matthew, he had just been watching the movie Trolls. And I remember I got him a little one and I surprised them. I invited them to meet me at Cracker Barrel and we sat there. And I got the little figurine out of the bag and he saw it and he's like, oh, Poppy. And that was one of the most priceless moments I've ever had in my life, to see my grandson. Just Poppy. How many of us know how cool? Don't you think that if we humans delight in moments like that, don't you think our Heavenly Father delights in pinning our ears back and we're like, I love those moments. Now, number two, you got to do away with cynicism. I don't know. It's going to be hard for you to have a sense of awe for the holiness and the awesomeness of our God. Because he is infinite, church family. When I mean infinite, there is no bottom of the ocean with him. You can plumb the depths of all that is God and you'll never reach the bottom because there is no bottom. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There is no dead end to God. He is infinite. We are finite beings, so... You know, I once heard David Wilkerson say this many, many years ago, and it's always stuck with me, that every passing moment in heaven our awareness of God will just increase and increase and increase and increase. That's what it'll be in eternity for the believer. Now, he also said, this would be David Wilkerson saying it, he also said, the unbeliever, the awareness of being apart from God will increase and increase and increase in how eternity for them. How many of y'all would say this is good teaching? Somebody liking this? Our God is awesome, church family. So resist cynicism. Number three, leave room in your heart for the unimaginable. Leave room in your heart for the unimaginable. Leave the door open for the Lord to surprise you with a wow moment. And I'm going to finish with one that I experienced. It was spectacular. Who remembers Superstorm Sandy? They say it was one of the most powerful hurricane to hit the Atlantic coast. And I remember because I was running in Washington, D.C. I was running the Marine Corps Marathon. And I was running it, and I had planned to fly out of Baltimore because I flew into Baltimore, drove down from Baltimore to D.C. to run that race. And while we were running, and I had scheduled my flight to leave 7 o'clock Sunday evening, and while we're running the race, there was talk among the runners that the airport in Baltimore was shutting down and were canceling flights. And I'm thinking, because I had my race plan, and I thought, man, I'm going to get a massage after I'm done, because they offered that for the runners. After the race, I ran my fastest marathon at the Marine Corps Marathon, and then I was going to go get the massage, but once I heard that they were canceling flights, I thought, I better go get to the airport as soon as I can. Well, I had one of those flip phones. I didn't have a smartphone that had a Google app or, you know, Google Maps or whatever, so I couldn't just type in Baltimore Airport. I had to ask for directions. And so there was this one guy at the hotel I was checking out of that said, oh, I'm going to be driving up to Baltimore, so you can just follow me. Well, I thought, thank you, Lord, that's nice, you know. And so I follow him, and he stopped. I asked him if he could stop briefly at the gas station so I could fill up, and he said, sure. He was very kind. So I filled up the car, but then driving from D.C. to Washington, the car didn't have as much gas as it should have, so I knew I was going to have to pay an extra fee for not returning the car, the rental car, with the however much gas it needed. So anyway, I talked to the guy when we at the parking lot in the Baltimore airport, and he said, don't worry about it, not a big deal. You won't have to pay. We'll just leave it. We'll call it good. I said, well, that's nice. You know, thank you, Lord. So I walk into the airport. I'm rushing, go to the gate or the place where they're typing out the tickets, and they announced all our flights are canceled. A couple minutes later, they said, well, we will only be flying two flights out of Baltimore. One is to Denver, Colorado, and the other one to Chicago, Illinois. I was like, praise the Lord, because that was my flight. Because everything's just falling into place, you know. And so we board the plane. It is packed. Because, you know, there were hours I was waiting in the concourse. And that airport looked like a ghost town. And they had a TV on the Weather Channel. And it's kind of getting scary because it's already beginning to barrel down on the East Coast. Superstorm Sandy is. And I'm thinking, gosh, this is creepy. I almost wanted to take a photo of the concourse because there was nothing. It's like a ghost town. And so we finally boarded the plane. It was late. It didn't leave on time. It was late. And it was packed. It was packed full of people. So me and this guy, I didn't know him, but we all got the last seats on the plane, the most uncomfortable, the smallest seats. They don't even give you a full bag of peanuts. Am I right? You dip into the bag and you get two or three and you're like, that's it? And so anyway, so we're back there, but I'm thankful. I am thankful to be on that plane, period. I'm not griping. I said, you know, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me today up to this point. And then not very long after that, apparently a lady in first class had a child, and she didn't feel comfortable with a child because the seat was too big for that child. So she asked to be traded to the very last seat. So the air flight attendant came back to the last seats of the plane and said, would you guys please stand up and come with me? And we're looking at each other like, what? So we go with them past the curtain. Hallelujah. I don't mean the Holy of Holies curtain. It's the next best thing if you're flying, right? It's first class. And he said, you guys can sit here, first seats on that plane. And we're like, wow. Took the lady back to the last seats to have her kid more comfortable. And so the air flight attendant comes back after having seated the lady in the back of the plane. She said, you know, for your inconvenience, and I'm thinking, inconvenience? There's no inconvenience here. Here's the menu. Order anything you want, and it's on us. Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you know filet mignon tastes a lot better than those three peanuts they give you at the back of the plane? Club soda tastes a lot better than just room temperature water. Amen? And then the captain comes on. I mean, it's not done. It just keeps going. And the captain comes on, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain, Captain Miller, and I'll be transporting you via American Airlines, whatever it was, to Chicago, Illinois. And then he said, you know, we're going to have a very bumpy flight, so just remain calm. We'll navigate the rough air. And, you know, he said all these things that captains do. And so I said, I don't care. I'm just getting out of Dodge. So I was thankful to be getting out of Dodge. We take off, smooth takeoff. The smoothest flight, no exaggeration, I've ever flown in. Come on, somebody. Is God a God of wonders? You know, the Lord taught me a lesson that day. He said, don't ever, no matter what circumstances look like, don't ever count me out. How many of us know He is a God of wonder? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness. What an honor to serve You and to live for You and to love You. And Father, I give You thanks that You're always on our side. You are a God of wonder and awe, and You inspire it in our lives, Lord God. Thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. There's one last verse I want to close with. It's Psalm 139, 5 and 6 out of the Message Bible. It says, I look behind me and You're there. Then up ahead and You're there too. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in.